A great king had a banquet and invited many. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
Sisters, today is the Sunday in the Orthodox calendar when we honor our forefathers, and when we begin to read the list, we realize that these are the patriarchs, including Abraham and Moses, and before them, Noah, the patriarchs. Oh, it is right to honor the patriarchs, I have no question about that, but what is the significance of this day? What is the significance of the patriarchs? What is remarkable about them? Did they found Christianity? Is this the birthday of the church or some other kind of birthday of a religion? Isn't it so that when we trace our forefathers, we're talking about the founding of our house, the house of Mesher, the house of Berard? Well, no, it's not like that. Well, what is it like then? It is like being invited into a certain spirit, or better yet, having a certain spirit placed within you. Sister Marianne put up the prayer of Saint Ephrem, the deacon of Syria, on the mirror where we, in the bathroom we all share, so that we can read it when we're alone. Lord, grant me the spirit of. Oh, grant me the spirit of. You know, we've come to read that so often that maybe we don't pause to think of what is being said here. You see, in this post-scientific world, a world whose underlying premises are all grounded in materialism. You know, materialism. People are now claiming you can examine the brain and see where spirituality resides. There's a contradiction in terms. Because spirituality has no material component. There are no atoms or cells in the spirit. And yet there is a place inside us. You might say the body is built around this place, which is spirit. It is that immortal, ageless me we have inside us, which lives on after our bodies drop away from it. And that place must be filled with a spirit. Must be filled with a spirit. We can invite any spirit we wish into this place. Do you know people who are dominated by an evil spirit, who are in that sense possessed? I have known many. I might even say that it could be the case, as I take the survey of everybody I know, my entire circle of acquaintance, it could be the case that more than half of them have filled that space with an evil spirit. And it is a fact that the Church of Rome is raising up more exorcists right now than at any other time in its history. Well, under Bergoglio's reign, I'm not sure about that anymore. That was certainly true when Ratzinger was Pope. Lord, fill that space within me with a spirit. What is that spirit? What is that spirit? The Trinity is eternal. We know that the Holy Ghost, we say it every day, spake by the prophets. The Holy Ghost is not an innovation of Christianity. What is that spirit? In practical terms, that spirit is God's ways. It was understood for centuries and centuries and thousands of years. But the wonderful thing about this chosen people, what is it about the chosen people that makes them so special, have had revealed to them the ways of God. And it is no exaggeration to say that the whole point of Christianity is personal conduct. We are religious, and therefore we have steeped ourselves in the Psalms day after day after day after day, decade after decade. And so I don't need to demonstrate to you, the sisters, that the phrase, teach me your statutes, they are a lamp unto my feet, they are my refuge, they are my fortress. Without them I am lost, they are my salvation. I don't need to go through the Psalms and show you all the places where we might find such a sentiment. Because to have revealed to you the ways of God is the difference between death and life. Right conduct is the point of the faith. When Jesus founds the church, the founding of the church is very, very simple. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of knowledge of God's ways, imbued with right conduct, and what sins you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, what sins you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Only two. The Holy Spirit is breathed into the apostles, the church is established, and one sacrament, reconciliation. We might say, since we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, that there are two, baptism and what is reconciliation? Well, it's when we fall away from the ways of God and we wish to be rebaptized. Baptism and rebaptism. That's the church. It turns out that setting a right spirit in me, your spirit, O Lord, is our starting point. And then we renew it and renew it and renew it. Those of us, like myself, who have strayed, there are those who have not. They are not really in need of reconciliation. I have been confessor to these people. The only reason that they're sitting there in the confessional is because the Roman Catholic Church has rules. But they had no sins to confess. When we think of our patriarchs and realize that what they share, the only thing they share, is a knowledge of God's ways. When we understand the founding of the church, we begin to see that Christian life is a struggle to receive God's Spirit and to retain it. How do you lose God's Spirit? You lose God's Spirit by permitting another spirit to dwell in you, an evil spirit, because God is holy, and God departs when his dwelling place has been contaminated, has been polluted. God can depart? Well, the examples are endless throughout the scriptures, yes. God departs and then stands like the father of the prodigal at a bend in the road, waiting for us to return to him, cleansed. You know, we read this parable about a great king who invites. And how can it be possible that people decline the invitation of a great king? It doesn't seem possible. Well, is that all there is to it? Sure, I'll come. Why do people not come? Because they do what they list. Here's an archaic verb for you. The only reason I mention it, to do what you list, your desires, to seek your pleasures, has a noun form, lust. All of these people do what they list. Whatever it is they want, that's what they do. Even to the point of denying the invitation of the king. Remarkable. And yet, look out the window. It is the norm. It is the norm to decline God's invitation and to do what you list. Even more remarkable, to know God's ways, and this very remarkable gift given to the patriarchs, defining the chosen people. Why are they chosen? Because they've been shown God's ways. What is the alternative? Here are your gods, O Israel, orgy at the foot of Mount Sinai. Even more remarkable, to know God's ways, to receive God's ways, to understand God's ways, and to decline. Oh my, it turns out that this parable is not so strange after all. It is the norm. It is convenient to think of the banquet hall as being the kingdom of heaven. What does God show the poor and the lame and the rejected and the outcast and those who were never invited? He shows them his friendship. And to be in someone's friendship is to be in their way of life. You know, I have sought out mentors in my life, not so much because they had facts to teach me. Those I could acquire elsewhere. What they had to show me was their spirit. I met a nun in Haiti, and I sought every spare minute I could with her because I wanted more and more of her spirit. She had a certain, I could call it temperament, sensibility, sets of opinions and values, but it all reduced to one thing, her spirit, which was pure and innocent and wise. It is convenient to understand the banquet hall, to be the kingdom of heaven, to enter into the king's friendship, to receive his spirit, and to make it your own. But here's something more subtle, pointing to the epistle lesson today, Colossians 3, beginning at verse 4. When Christ appears in his glory, you will appear in your glory. Therefore, reject the members that are inside you that indulge in, and in the first 5 examples or so, I don't have the text in front of me, all have to do with sexual desire, immorality, impurity, and so forth and so on. Write down the covetousness, which is idolatry, and of course the great covetousness of our time and of every time is the idolatry on the human body and its aspect of carnality. It certainly is no exaggeration in our time to say it is the master issue of our lives. our families, our marriages, the church itself has been torn down over this one issue, this one lust. Who can dispute that it has destroyed the Roman Catholic Church in our time? Who can dispute that it is the master issue governing the mainline Protestant churches? Who can dispute that it continues to be the great force driving people toward evangelical Christianity because they reject it? Great debate has broken out in the last few weeks because a leading Christian journal, Christianity Today, has tried to part company with, it's really not about the president. Conservative evangelicals who oppose sexual sin. And why are they doing this? Because evangelical pastors have noticed that Generation Z, the adults now coming into fullness, have rejected their churches. Their mega churches are emptying. The response of the Pontiff of Rome is, we must conform ourselves to the culture, or we will lose all of our members. Blessed is the man or woman whose church will not be cowed by this culture. A culture in which a man who committed no other crime but to tear down an LGBTQ ? Flag from a church hanging outside a church in Tiburnum. That man will serve 15 years in prison. 15 hard years in prison because he burned the flag. I checked this morning to see what the federal laws were against burning the American flag. Usually it is never punished. Usually it is not punished. If it were to be enforced, which of course would probably be met with an outcry, it would be enforced to the furthest extent of the law, which is 12 months in jail, not 15 years. But our culture has hardened into our what we list. So many of my friends call me Forrest Gump, not because I've bumped my head so many times and have been reduced to less than a organized mind, but because I seem to have cropped up at significant times and significant places. And it turns out that I was a Episcopalian chaplain to the University of New Hampshire when the Diocese of New Hampshire became the burning point of the Episcopal Church. And I was present when Gene Robinson, the famous bishop who would be the cause of the destruction of the Episcopal Church, proposed at diocesan convention that racism training be put into place. Well, who is going to dissent from a movement to put racism training in place? Although nobody noticed the problem we had with racism. And those same people were stunned the following year when consciousness-raising seminars were rolled out concerning one race, only one, the homosexual race. Until that point, I didn't ever think of homosexuals as constituting a race, but they are a race now, a nation, under a flag, accorded civil rights. Remarkable. You see, because homosexuality is sex, sexuality. It is a preference, if you wish, an orientation, if you like. Should we now have a flag for a nation of men who covet red-headed women? A nation of women who covet African-American men. I mean, you know, we can describe these desires in many different ways. It all boils down to the same thing. What we crave sexually. People are born this way. I assure you, no man is born to be a man who craves red-headed women. Tall, short, thin, stout. Twin studies, you know, are decisive in studying DNA, and because I am a clone, I pay attention to these. I am an identical twin. And many, many, many identical twins are shown to be men who, one twin desiring sex with men, or maybe men and women, another one desiring only women. Is it really genetic? Or is it like everything else we do? We become curious, we dabble in it, we become absorbed in it, it controls us. We can say this about alcohol and food and drugs and anything you play. It's when habitual vice hardens into viciousness, life controlling, even possessing, life possessing desires. Well, if we're willing to sacrifice our entire culture over this issue, then I don't know what other word to use other than possession. A king planned a banquet to which he invited many. This banquet was filled with delights, including friendship with God, eternal life, peace of mind, the reclaiming of one's purity, the reclaiming of one's innocence, the reclaiming of one's happiness. But no one came because they listed other things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.